Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Some of the most dangerous words a human being can say are, "This will be over by Christmas." It's not because they're hopeful words, but because they make a promise that reality has zero obligation at all to keep. So, we human beings are exhausted. We are overstimulated. We are, out of necessity, it seems, constantly looking for shortcuts. We are addicted to optimism, to timelines, to guarantees. But what I want to talk about today, I want to talk about a man who survived 7 years of torture in the Hanoi Hilton during the Vietnam War. James, went by Jim Stockdale. And he went on to win the president, or the Medal of Honor. He was an admiral. He eventually ran for vice president of the United States. But he survived those 7 years, I can't even imagine, just brutal torture, horrible conditions. And he did it not by pretending that things were going to be okay, but by refusing to let reality take his soul with it. So he was shot down in, like, flying over Vietnam during the Vietnam War, shot down, badly injured, taken as a prisoner of war for over 7 years, like I just mentioned, in the famous Hanoi Hilton. He was in solitary. He was tortured, totally isolated. He had no control over any of the outcomes, just only how he conducted himself. And hence, or thus, was born the Stockdale Paradox. And he learned that survival required holding two ideas in his head at the same time, which I know is hard for us regular human beings to be able to do that. The first was that this is awful, truly awful. This sucks. This couldn't be any worse. And I can still choose how I live inside of it. So he rejected false optimism. Prisoners who kept setting emotional deadlines suffered the most. And he recognized that. He recognized that if you think and you're putting hope on some manufactured deadline, you're setting yourself up for really failure. But he thought and he knew and he demonstrated that hope must be disciplined. It shouldn't be dreamy. It shouldn't be like, oh my gosh, it's going to be so whimsical and great when we get out of here in a couple of months. Because that kind of thinking breaks most people. False optimism, oftentimes, most of the time, can almost certainly lead to emotional collapse. But cynicism will lead to disengagement. And Stockdale looked at this as responsibility without illusion. So most of us, obviously, God willing, will never live in a POW camp. But many of us live in psychological ones of our own makings. So we're stuck in jobs that we hate, but for whatever reason won't confront. We are in relationships that we avoid dealing with or addressing the core or real issues in them. We have debts that we just kind of hope are going to work themselves out. We tell ourselves that everything happens for a reason. Things always work out. And while it may be true, it's not necessarily true, because what happens is they eventually resolve, but not in the way that we want. And so through our ability to rationalize, which is a weapon of mass destruction, simply because, you know, we just talk ourselves into, this is why things are they are. This is why I don't have the things that I want. This is why I am not in the places or at the places or doing the things that I really want. We have health issues that, you know, I don't have time to address right now. And of course, we all do that. So the problem here, it isn't that life is hard. We all intellectually and experientially understand that life is hard. The problem is that we keep lying to ourselves about it. So this is where I want to bring in our friend Sisyphus, who of course was condemned by the gods to roll a large boulder up a hill every day, only to have it roll back down for him to repeat that same existence over and over and over again. And Sisyphus became and is fully aware of the circumstances of his life. He doesn't have any escape fantasy. He's not in denial of his lot in life. And he's deriving meaning from that engagement of the actual pushing, not of the outcome. So Sisyphus doesn't need his situation to improve in order to live with dignity. Nor do you and I need to have our situations dramatically change in order to conduct ourselves and to live our lives with dignity.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
So, different centuries, good old Sisyphus and James Stockdale. Different conditions, but same lessons. So when everything is taken away, something fascinating can happen if we allow it to. And that's really what clarity is. So when you find yourself in extreme conditions, those conditions have a tendency to really strip life down, to strip away the noise, the triviality of life, all the different crap that we don't really care about, but we just tolerate and suffer through. It strips that stuff away, and it really helps us to boil things down to what really matters, what things really matters. And then giving us that appreciation for the fact that everything else is just noise. And that's what Pareto's meaningful few are really about. That's why I love everything about it so much. Figuring out, here's what matters, here's what must be done in service of what matters, and here's how to actually do it. It's a whole process of letting everything fall away and letting everything burn away. And here you are, the phoenix, who will rise from the ashes, hopefully less encumbered, unencumbered by all the different crap that was piled on you or you willfully are carrying. Because now we see things more clearly. But here's the thing is, you know, we don't need to experience a personal crisis or a familial crisis or a health crisis to get that clarity. We can, even though we're not actually living through it and other people have, you know, we can learn from other people's experiences. We can learn from the wisdom that has been passed on or is trying to pass itself down from hundreds of years and centuries and countless generations of people. And we can put this kind of discipline into practice right now. So if you're listening to this and you're thinking, you know, I know that my life isn't wrong, but it's awfully cluttered. It's just noisy. It's I don't feel like I'm clicking on all cylinders. I'm not humming along on all cylinders. I'm not firing on all cylinders. I eventually got there. That's why that's really what I'm working on as well. And I just wrote this book. I finished this book. It's called The Meaningful Few. And that's what it's all about, is to try and it's the result of the work that I've been doing over the past essentially 12 years. Once I sort of woke up and recognized that I was in a lot of ways just sleepwalking through life. I was not living life on my terms. I wasn't moving in the direction that I really wanted to be. And so I changed it. And I've been working on that ever since. So 12 years at this point. And the Meaningful Few book and everything else that goes along with it is the result. It's the product. And I'm really proud of it. So there's obviously the book, but there's a course that goes along with it. And there's also a mastermind. Just because sometimes we can learn something, but then need help in actually implementing what it is that we learned. And it's an ambitious undertaking, and it's been a ton of work. But I think it's going to be very, very useful. And it's not about optimizing. I'm not interested in just constant, relentless optimization of things. But I am interested in finding alignment under real conditions. So I guess fundamentally, this isn't about pretending that things are fine. It's about choosing how you live, even when they aren't fine. So, question for you. Can you tell yourself the truth about your life and then still decide to live it well? If you can, you don't need perfect conditions. You just need courage, you need clarity, and a few things that truly matter. The whole idea of this show is do your part by doing your best. The idea is get better, live how you want. I can really work to boil down the impact I'm interested in having, the work that I'm interested in doing. It's those things. I want to help people get better so they can live the lives they want. And I want us to have a high trust, highly functioning, reciprocal society. And I can't fix the government. You can't fix the government, but I can fix me. And I'm interested in helping you to become the best possible version of you. And through that, you'll be doing your part by doing your best. And that's the whole idea. So I would love for you to check out what it is that I've been working on. And you can do that at mymeaningfulfew.com. mymeaningfulfew.com. Pick up a copy of the book, check out the course, invite you to join the mastermind for a session at no cost. And we'd love to see if you believe that the work that I've done can help you get a little bit closer to the life that you really want. Because we only got one crack at this. We got to get started. So, as always, do your part by doing your best.